This is On the Media. I'm Bob Garfield.
And I'm Daljit Dhaliwal. Being the world's largest retailer and North America's largest private employer has advantages and disadvantages. At Walmart, everyday low prices have also translated into everyday bad publicity. For years, it has been accused of destroying Main Street, exploiting employees, and raping the labor markets of the developing world. With the premiere this week of an anti-Walmart documentary film, the company's PR challenges are going to the next level, and so too is the PR response, a war room staffed with political operatives and public relations specialists to get out good news and confront the bad. Apart from the short-term urgency, says Stephen Greenhouse, workplace and labor reporter for the New York Times, the goal is to win the hearts and minds of middle-class consumers the company is increasingly anxious to win over. And he joins us now. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Happy to be here.
Okay, well, let's talk about some of these people who are in the political war room. Who are the heavy hitters behind Walmart's makeover?
There are some very heavy hitters, including one of the heaviest of all, Michael Deaver, who was one of Ronald Reagan's key image advisors. And then there's Leslie Datch, who was a media advisor to Bill Clinton, and Jonathan Adashek, who was head of national delegate strategy for the Kerry campaign. They've hired the Edelman public relations firm, one of the most respected public relations firms in the country, and they have many other operatives from Republican campaigns and Democratic campaigns. I think in ways what Walmart's doing is it's often viewed as a red state company and is hiring some blue staters to help them, especially with the opposition they face in blue states and, you know, some of the bluest of cities like L.A., Chicago, and New York. And they're hoping that some of these Democratic operatives will have ties to Democrats and labor unions.
So why is Walmart going down this route?
For many years, Walmart was growing slowly, and the cultural elite, the news media, did not pay much attention to them. And now Walmart's getting criticized by a movie, by several groups supported by unions that are seeking to pound Walmart very hard to pressure Walmart to improve its wages and benefits. The largest class action employment lawsuit in American history is pending against Walmart. And the lawsuit alleges that Walmart discriminated against women in promotions and pay. More than 1.5 million women. And Walmart's very, very worried that the lawsuit could alienate a lot of its customer base and discourage some consumers from shopping at Walmart.
And you wrote about an internal Walmart memo leaked to the New York Times a few weeks ago, detailing the company's plans to aggressively keep down employee health benefits while minimizing damage to the company's reputation. Now, that was a particularly high-profile embarrassment. Given this, do you see their PR effort then as a charm offensive, or are they really talking about making more substantive changes to their business practices?
I would think it's mainly a charm offensive. And this memo makes very clear that they're extremely image conscious. And I think if you read the memo closely, it appears that they're trying to improve their image on the cheap. They say they're increasing their benefits, but they plan to pare their benefit spending by about $1 billion over the next few years, or they hope to at least.
And they're also offering things like journalism scholarships. What's that about?
I think that's very smart of them. About a year ago, they decided we're going to go out into the public forum and we're going to improve our image and we're going to give money to many African-American groups, to Hispanic groups, and miracle of miracles, they're also sponsoring these journalism fellowships.
There was a recent article in the New York Times which said that Walmart had taken a page, essentially, out of the political playbook and that it was chasing the swing voter.
Walmart realizes that it has many very loyal consumers. You know, 80-85% of the American people shop at Walmart each year. It also realizes that there are naysayers, liberals, you know, folks who live in New York City or Vermont who just aren't going to shop at Walmart. But Walmart also realizes that there's a group of swing shoppers, or swing voters, who could perhaps be swayed to stop shopping at Walmart if they see these negative movies, read these negative articles. Walmart hired McKinsey & Company, the consulting firm, and McKinsey found that somewhere between 2-8% of shoppers have decided to stop shopping at the company because they've been affected by negative information about Walmart.
Well, one place where the company did get a lot of brownie points was the way in which they swung into action with their Katrina relief efforts. It's no secret that Walmart has legions of critics, but are they getting credit where credit is due?
I think Walmart did a marvelous job on Katrina. CEO Lee Scott is brilliant at distribution and logistics. Someone wrote an article saying that Lee Scott should have been hired as head of FEMA. Walmart certainly did a better job than FEMA in getting important materials out to its stores when FEMA lagged behind. And Walmart really then tried to milk that to get some good publicity.
And you've also written that Walmart has these designs on the middle class, urban tastemakers, so to speak. And that is a consumer base that's different from the one that they've built their business around, essentially. How has this changed their message then and their ads and also their image?
Now, Walmart traditionally focused on the low-income shopper, especially in the South. And it's seeing that income wages for the bottom half of American society is not growing very rapidly. The top half has been doing better in terms of earnings. And Walmart sees Target and Neiman Marcus and Saks doing better than Walmart in terms of comparable store sales. And it says, hey, we want some of that. We want more of that. So it's moving upscale and it's going after a more sophisticated market, people who read papers like the Washington Post and the New York Times and Business Week and see negative stories about Walmart.
Stephen, thanks very much for joining us on the program.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Stephen Greenhouse is a labor and workplace reporter for The New York Times.